Kom ons bid. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to come together. Thank you that we can sing, that we can praise, that we can pray. Thank you that we can be a part of each other's life. Thank you for the finished work of the cross, Lord, that has made a way for us to be close to you, to know you, and this morning to have your Spirit, as Jacobus shared. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that leads and guides and shows. And I pray, Lord, that we will be in a position to allow you to have your way, that we'll be in a place where you can share your heart with us and that we will know what's on your heart. But please help us to respond with obedience. Help us to respond as your body. And help us to keep on walking with you in the midst of this world. I pray that everything that we do, everything that we say, everywhere that we go, the way that we work, I pray that in some way it will reflect you. That we will show and also know ourselves and taste that you are good. I pray that we will know this in Jesus' name. Amen. Goeiemôre almal. Vanoggend, ek moet maar versigtig wees, my skoonma is hier, so ek kan nie nou skoonma grappies maak hier oor. Nee, ek grap so van ma, ek is lief van ma. Vanoggend, I just want to share just a little bit of a testimony first of someone else's life and those that is in our cell, and I've shared it possibly with one or two people. So if you're hearing it again, please bear with me. But it's regarding Uncle Niels, that kind of, I was part of his life and he was part of my life for quite some time, and recently he's passed away. But I remember when I received a photo of him lying in his bed or in the hospital bed, and you could see, yeah, that gaan nie goed gaan nie. And it's not long until his time here on earth is finished. But as I saw him lying in that bed, a flood of memories rushed. And although he was this spiritual giant or whatever we want to call these kind of characters, the memories that flooded in wasn't these grand spiritual moments. Although he was a great teacher and he was good at this and he could understand the word from a different perspective, but the memories that flooded me was normal everyday life memories. The way that he enjoyed food, the way that he had a passion about the outdoors and the mountains, the way that he told stories, and when he told the story, it felt like I was there, and if I wasn't there, it felt like I wanted to be there. He had this incredible way of doing what he did. And I also remember I was in New Zealand, and I was going through a massive battle, and he was in Australia, and he came, and obviously I was on the phone with him, and he said, I'm going to change my ticket. I've got to be in the South Island in New Zealand, but I'm going to come pick you up in the North Island, and we can drive together down to the South. And I remember in that car, he was sitting there with his big blue gazy eyes, and when he looked into me, he looked into my eyes, I saw something different. But I was constantly moaning in the car and groaning and everything that's wrong with life and how everything is just not fair. And he wouldn't really pay attention. He would open up his window and he would put his hand out and say, "Yo, voel hier so, dit voel soos die Karoo." He'd think, "Yes, maar die oom bly se glad nie vir my nie." And then he would say how beautiful the nature was. And all I wanted him to do was acknowledge my wrestle that I was having. And I'm sure he was listening. But he wasn't really too concerned with, ek weet nie as dit nou, if I can say my nut panty goedkie. So he listened and I remember all this normal stuff about him. And then I went to his funeral, and I must be honest, my time with him up until the funeral, I always thought I was this special son of Oom Niels. Had this very close relationship. He kind of mentored me. He was the father figure that I possibly didn't have. And I got to the funeral, and I was sitting there at the back, very quiet, very emotional. And I realized that I wasn't special at all. Because all the testimony that I heard there was the very same thing. And it all but put into perspective for me, it was the greatest testimony of this Oom was that he loved God and he loved people. And I experienced that as a young man. I saw him. I remember how he would play piano in his flat. We stayed in a hostel, and his flat was at the end. And he was very private, the way that he played piano and praised his God. And I would stand in the hall, and I would just listen. And I would peep around, and I know he was very private, so I didn't want him to see me, but I saw a oom that loved his God. But I experienced how he loved people. And it was all just put into perspective for me there. And I just wanted to share it that may we, whatever we are doing in the midst of our normal stuff, whether it is enjoying food or working or harvesting or teaching at school or whatever it may do that we find ourselves busy with, may we have that testimony at the end of the day that we are obeying God's greatest command, loving God and loving people. Because it didn't matter what he did really, but that's what I experienced with him. So may we walk in those footsteps. So I want to share this morning on John 16, our cell. We went through it, but I'm going to share a little bit on it again. So let it be a fresh reminder for you, Michelle, and Christopher Zwickdaw, and Justin daarachter. But before we jump into John 16, I want to give just a little bit of context of where Jesus, because it was Jesus talking, and I want to give a bit of context of why he was saying what he was saying in John 16. So in John 15, most of us know that scripture is talking about the branch and the vine and how we need to be abiding in him. And there's three relationships that John 15 is talking about, or Jesus is addressing in all believers. The first is obviously our relationship with the Lord, abiding in him. Then later in that, he talks about loving one another. And then in the last passage of John 15, it's talking about the world and how difficult it is in this world and our relationship with this world. And all believers, every Christian, is facing these three relationships. And it's the three most important relationships that we'll need to deal with and work on and grow in as a believer. But before we jump onto John 16, I quickly just want to paint a bit of a picture. And just imagine with me now, Nem. Imagine that somehow, some way, we could get Jesus here in the next 2 weeks to come and share. Him himself, in person, real. Here he is. We make a little flyer key. Didi sends out a text to that shofar group, and it's just, listen, Jesus is going to come and share here in 2 weeks' time on a Sunday. Who's going to come? And then finally we can find, did he have long hair? Did he have a beard? How did he look? What's he going to say? And afterwards, if you wanted to come for prayer, he's going to lay hands on you and he's going to pray. Jesus himself, he's going to be here. We make a nice flyer and we send it out and we market it. Do you think it's going to be full? Do you think you're going to tell friends or friends and who? Jesus is coming. He's going to be here. He's going to share himself. Or maybe another scenario is, there's a big meeting on the farm or wherever you're at the school, and there's big decisions that need to be made, and Jesus is there. He's going to come with you. He's going to help you with this, and he's going to sit there, and you can kind of just sit behind him and just kind of see what he has to say, and he's going to help with the decisions, and he's going to do what he needs to do in order to, whether it's an interview or whatever the case may be. Wouldn't you feel at rest? He's right there. He's in person. He's with us. And he's gonna guide that. He's going to do it. And I can just kind of fall in. Oh, yes, I'll do that. So in John 16, although that would be incredible that he could come here in 2 weeks' time and share from the pulpit and preach, and John 16 says there's something better than that, according to Jesus. And he was speaking. So let's read in John 16 from verse 5. He said, but now, and this is Jesus speaking, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And no one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come, or the helper, or the guide. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that they refuse to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And then he continues, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So I can imagine it could be incredible to have him here with us. But he's saying there's something better. He can be here every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, there's someone better, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to touch on one aspect of this idea, this reality of being able to have the Holy Spirit with us. And although it would be incredible to have Jesus here, the very same Spirit that was in him is here with us on a Sunday, on a Monday, in that meeting, knocking on someone's door. What do I say now to this person that's going through a crisis? I wish Jesus would just be here, that I could just kind of stand behind him. No, there is something much better, according to him in verse 7. This is best for you that I go, because if he goes, then he can send the helper. So there's obviously many, many aspects of the Holy Spirit, or what we said in our cell, we looked at, if someone had to come to you and ask you, what is your job description? Would you be able to, in a nutshell, say, my job description is this, this, and that? And if someone had to come to you and say, but listen, what is the job description of the Holy Spirit? What is his work? What is the crux? What is it? Someone that doesn't know, would we be able to explain, express, and share? And in John 16, it's talking a lot of that, but I want to touch on one aspect. And it's talking about when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. Truth. I want to touch on that aspect. And there is a scripture that is said over and over throughout the worldwide church, and a lot of believers, and many are claiming this promise is, and I hear it often. We'll claim that scripture. The truth will set you free. You know, I just need to tell the truth and it will set me free. Or I have to believe the truth and it will set me free. And I want freedom. The truth will set me free. And I went to that scripture and I read it and I realized there is a problem here. Because I see that many are claiming the scripture, but many are not free. And so I went and I read it and I looked at it in context. What is it saying before that? What's it saying after that? And how does the Holy Spirit help us in this? And so go to John 8. If you've got your word, go to John 8. Otherwise, I'll read it here and you can just listen. So this is that famous scripture that everyone is claiming, and then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But a lot of people don't add that, and then you will know the truth. We just talk about truth and the truth will set you free. And we're going to look at that from verse 31. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, so he was talking to the people that believed in him, that chose, and he said, you are truly my disciples or my followers. You are truly my disciples. And then there's a big word there. And we need to get that word right. In Afrikaans, I think it says us, A-S. In English, it says I-F, if. You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Uh-huh. And then it goes on to say, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My own focus will buy or buy freedom part. We don't want to do the remaining faithful to his teachings. And so going back to that scripture in John 16 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, so he's talking about the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he will guide you in all truth. And maybe that looks, maybe there's different aspects of that. So I don't want to say this is the be-all and the end-all, but I want to say that this is one aspect how the Spirit will guide us into all truth. Because remember, the context of it was John 15 saying there's three relationships that we all need to grow in. Love our Lord, love one another, and walk in this world as a child of God. These are the three relationships. And then he continues to say, I'm going to give you my Spirit. And this is one way that he's going to guide you in these three aspects. Love the Lord, love each other, and walk in this world as a child of God. And one of the ways is when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. Now my question is maybe the teachings of the Lord. So let's go. Jesus said, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. How many teachings are there in the Bible? Many. He's told us over and over things. Love your God as you love yourself. Love your God and love each other as you love yourself. Go to the ends of the earth. And there's so many teachings that he shared with us. And he's saying, remain faithful to these teachings that you see in my word. And if you remain faithful to them, then you will know the truth, and the truth will then set you free. So the freedom part is kind of just like a result. It's a happening. It's an equal sign. That's what's going to happen if we remain faithful. But I don't know about you. I struggle to remain faithful to those teachings in my own strength. I don't do it well. I know all the teachings. I've read it so often. But as I journey in this world, whether it's with my wife, my children, my work, my whatever it is, I find myself, I'm not remaining faithful to God's teaching in this. I'm not doing it the way that he spoke about in his word. And I think that's okay, to be honest with you. I want to put us at rest to say, I think that's okay. Because he did say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will guide you. So my prayer at this moment of time is, when it comes to anything of these three relationships, is Lord, help me through your Spirit. Help me to remain faithful to your teachings. Help me to remain faithful to your teachings. Because there is absolutely no other way for us to love God, to love one another, and to remain faithful to his teachings in this world. In John 15, at the end of John 15, as we shared in our cell group, what is our job description personal? I could, there was a, she said it so well, I don't want to put you on the spot now, but she said it so well, she's a physiotherapist, and her job description was well communicated. Obviously, there's so many things that she's doing, but at the end of the day, why is the big question. So that whoever the patient was at the end of the day would be fully functional. Is there many things to contribute towards that fully functional? Yeah, they need to do that exercise, this physiotherapy, come 5 days a week or 2 days a week or whatever it is. There's many things that need to be done. But the big question is, why? What's the end result? The why is a question that we constantly need to ask ourselves all the time. Why? And so with the Holy Spirit, he's a helper, he's a guide, he's many things. He gives us the gifts that we need. There's so many things that he is doing throughout the midst of our everyday. But why? Why is the big question that I want to ask myself, and I want to run through the word and find out, okay, he sent his Spirit, I have his Spirit. Is it just so that I can be free, so that I can have the gifts, so that I could experience the guidance in my workplace or whatever it is? Why is he doing all these things? What is his job description? Not so much what is he doing. There's many things that he's doing. But why? In John 15:22, it kind of sums it up for me. And there's many scriptures that express this. And in John 15, for me, is kind of summing it up. And Jesus is speaking, and he's telling us why he's going to send the advocate or the helper. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. This was Jesus speaking. This is why he came, that he could testify all about Jesus. That every work that he would do through us, through me, through the congregation, through the body of Christ, through the guiding, leading, helping, encouraging, everything that he is, that somewhere, somehow, it would lead to a testimony of Jesus, the Son of God. That some way, someone, myself included, would at the end of that say, as a result of the Holy Spirit leading me, I experience and I see Jesus for who he is, for who he truly is. Or someone else, you know, I see it in you as a family. I don't know what it is, but I experience something of Jesus in you as a family, your love, your warmth, the way that you bring us in, the discipline, whatever it is, that at the end of the day, that it will all lead to him. But so often, especially in a charismatic kind of situation, the gifts is the focus. How we need to be led by the Spirit to do all these things. And great. Is it bad? No, it's beautiful. But the question is where is it leading to? And if it just leads to someone being healed and the gift being expressed and that's where it ends, I'm not sure. I think we need to be careful then. Because at the end of the day, the Spirit's only purpose is to reveal the Son of God. Nothing more, nothing less. And yes, are we comforted in the midst of that? For sure. Is people healed? For sure. Are we guided in the midst of our everyday decisions and life? For sure. But may we always know and desire that the why at the end of that is always Jesus known, seen for who he is. And then when that is the reality, then that scripture is very real. The truth will set you free. There will always be freedom. Kyk, ek het die mic nou, ek my seentjie speel hierso voor, so ek kan nou mooi sê, Ben Lucas. Klaar. So how does that change? Or how does that, because I think most of us know this, we've heard it. But for some reason, it's become, you know, the idea that Jesus standing here would be incredible. But what is the difference? Having his Spirit. What is the difference? Well, according to Jesus, it's better. And do we have that awe, that longing, that massive desire just to hear what he's got to say? Because if Jesus, yeah, he would come with a sermon and I would be in awe, I would be waiting. What would he say? How would he say it? And when he prayed, what would happen? Because it's Jesus. But now we are saying in John 16, there's actually something way better. And it's every day, and it's all of us, and it's all the time. That very same sermon that he would have shared on the Mount there in Matthew, he wants to do it all the time through his Spirit. And so may his Spirit help us in these three areas of these three relationships that we are facing every day. These three areas of love your Lord with all your heart, love one another, and walk in this world in such a way that there will be a testimony of our Lord Jesus. And I must be completely honest with you. As a believer, things can become kind of norm. But I was blown away again as I was sitting in that funeral and I looked at the testimony of this uncle's life after the years that he spent here, and I realized these three areas. Yes, did he have a lot of faults? Yeah, for sure, many. Yes, was there things that was not 100%? Definitely. But did he love his God? I couldn't deny it. For sure he did. Did he love people? I experienced it as a person, and I heard it from many people that was there that day. And did he remain faithful to the teachings of the Word? Yes, he did. Without any doubt. I cannot deny it. Was there a testimony? At the end of the day, the biggest testimony that I heard at that funeral was Jesus was known. Yeah. yes, all these things that he did and didn't do and the organization and all that, it didn't come out there. The testimony came that Jesus Christ was glorified. And what does that mean, glory? Well, I always go back to this one scripture because I guess I'm that kind of person. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home where I used all this Christian terminology. So the first time I heard about glory, or I've heard it many times, but we sing it, glory to you, Lord. We want to bring you glory. I kind of ask, how does that look? What does glory look like? Because I want to know. And Moses asked the same question. He said, Lord, please show me your glory. And he went up that mountain and he asked the Lord, please show me that glory. Please show me this glory that we are reading about. Or that this, it's here. And the Lord said to him, yeah, you cannot handle it. And he continued to ask, please just show me your glory. And at the end of the day, what did Jesus do? What did God do? He didn't open up the heavens where there was a bunch of angels singing and praising. He didn't give them the best business strategy so that they could be glory. He did one thing. He showed him a glimpse of himself. Just a glimpse of himself. According to God, that is glory, is when he is seen for who he is. Straightforward. So that thing, that scripture in John 15, 22, but I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about me. Testimony is a clear picture of what happened or who he was. And may God help us through his Spirit in this, in these three areas, to love him, to love one another, and to remain faithful to his teachings while we are walking in this world that is a baie de mekaar, that is getting a lot worse. That we all desire a piece of freedom, for sure, in the midst of this enslaved world. We all desire that, and it's good. And to claim that promise, and just to say, yeah, I'm going to claim the promise of being free. Well, the scripture is going a little sin. It said, if you remain faithful to my teachings, then you will know the truth. But the only way to remain faithful to his teachings is to be led by the Spirit, according to John 16. In verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. And I guess, is there a 10 steps of how to be guided by the Holy Spirit? There probably is many things that I could share, but I guess my main prayer at the moment is, please help me, Lord. And not only please help me, Lord, but as the body of Christ, please help me. While I'm sitting in my cell, please help me. Because this very Spirit that we read about in his Word is in you and is in me. And yes, I can ask the Lord for help, but I'm also asking you as a body to help me and to help one another. To pray for one another so that we will be guided in all truth, that we'll remain faithful. So in Romans 8, I'm not going to read it. In Romans 8, read it when you get home, 8, 12 to 17, it talks about the Spirit again and how we've been adopted as sons, but also the power that he enables us with. And it's not this ooky spooky, fairy airy power, it's a real everyday child of God power to remain faithful, to be steadfast, and to be children of God in this world. So I just want to pray for us to finish off, that God would help us with these three areas. Love God, love one another, remain faithful to his teaching in this world that is difficult. And it is so easy to be in a position of not allowing God to have his way in us, not allowing the Spirit to lead us, not being in a position to really hear, yeah, what would you say in that meeting, Jesus? How would you pray for someone that is sick? And he's saying, well, you've got my Spirit, all of you that are reborn. Okay, so let's pray. Let's finish up with prayer. Yeah. Lord Jesus, you've given us your very Spirit that when you walked Jerusalem, when you walked, there was incredible breakthroughs, there was healing, there was many followers, there was many people that heard what you had to say. And that very same spirit you have given to us, Lord, and we need your help to be in a position and a posture of allowing your spirit to teach us, to help us, but to guide us and to remain faithful to your teachings so that we can know your truth, so that we could be set free, so that there will be a testimony of who you are, the King of Kings, so that people will know that you are good and that they will taste that you are good. I pray that we will not take it lightly that you have given us your spirit, but that there will be a beautiful fear of God in our hearts. And that we will not let it just become normal, but it will really, truly be a desire, a hunger to be led by your spirit and to walk by your spirit, Lord. So that we can be children of God in this world, loving you, loving one another, and remaining faithful to your teachings. Help us, Lord, is my prayer. Help us, please. We need your help. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, and thank you that this morning we can just also remind each other, Father, that you have a promise in Matthew 7 that when we ask you, you will give it to us. I'm also thinking as Brett shared, Lord, and my heart hungers for the leading of your Spirit, Lord. And walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, Father, I'm thinking of John that said, he will come and baptize you, not with water, but with the Spirit. And I'm thinking of Acts 4, Lord, where the people who has received the Spirit received a greater measure of your Spirit. And boldness increased, and the flesh diminished. And Lord, I want to ask you this morning, as we sit in your presence, that you will come and fill all of us, maybe for the first time, just baptize us or refill us, whatever the terminology is, Lord. I want to ask you, Lord, that you will come and fill us with your Spirit. Fill us completely with your Spirit, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and just come and saturate us with your presence. We just wait upon you, Lord, and we desire it, Lord. We know that we cannot do it on our own, Lord. I'm just asking where we sit, Lord, young and old, that you would come and pour your Spirit. Bring your Spirit, Lord. Let it abide in us. I pray this morning for our hearts to be like a lamb, Lord. Because where the lamb nature of Jesus Christ is present, the Spirit stays. And so many times I'm just in my flesh, Lord. I just felt over this weekend, and I want to encourage all of us that you would get up in the morning and just for, I don't know how long, let the Lord lead you if you want to participate. I felt, I haven't even shared it with my wife, but I felt that the Lord said to me, every morning you pray for your wife to be filled with the Spirit for this day. And she will pray for me to be filled with the Spirit. It's the only way we can walk, that Jesus be revealed through our walk, if the Spirit leads us. And Lord, we desire that. I pray, make us faithful, just in asking you regularly, Lord, that we have the full measure of your Spirit working in us mightily. So I just feel, let us just sit for a few moments and just you personally also ask the Lord for more of his Spirit. It's not a funny thing to ask. It's right through the New Testament. Paul in Acts They encourage one another, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit many times. I just want to share one thing, because I want to guide us through the Word to have a godly desire and not a desire that is not from God. And I think it's evident right through the New Testament that receiving the Spirit of God was an experience. It wasn't only a belief. It wasn't only a mind thing. Okay, I have the Spirit now. The believers in the New Testament experienced how the Spirit came. And I cannot do that, and you cannot do that. Only God can do that. And you know in this congregation that we are not about experiences. But the New Testament is full of it, that the people experienced how the Spirit of God filled them. And I just want to share that. That you and me will have a desire in that way. That God will, and we will keep on asking. Because we want to experience it, not only know it by our mind. So I just want to be obedient, and I feel that we do see in the New Testament that people laid hands on people to pray for them that they might receive the Spirit. So if there's anyone this morning here that would like to come forward and that we would pray for you to receive the Spirit of God, I want to invite you too for that.